Hi, this is Jelly, also known as Moon, also known as Moon Jelly. Whatever you want to call me is fine. If you're listening to this, that means that either you really like the sound of my voice, or you just really want to know more about me, or maybe both, probably both. Either way, that's super flattering and really sweet. So, thanks for listening. If you ask me a specific question, I am gonna, in my post, I'm gonna link places that you can forward to in the audio where I answered your question. So you don't have to listen to the whole thing if you don't want to. And I won't be offended if you just want to fast forward to wherever I answered your question. I think I'm gonna start with the questions that were asked in my anonymous Google form. This person, I assume, well, you said who you were. Hi, by the way. But since you asked me in this form, I'm assuming you want to be anonymous, but you know who you are. Anyways, this lovely person asked me, what would you do with $1 million? I was thinking about it, and I think, well, first of all, okay, so the thing that I want to do with $1 million, it's not something that I would do right now because I'm not ready to do it. I would save it and then, like, maybe like 5 or 10 years from now when my life is more together and I'm kind of in a place where I'm ready to do this, I really want to buy a piece of land. And I want to build like a really sustainable home. Do you know what earthbag homes are? It's like this really cool way of building houses where the main principle is that you take bags and you fill them with dirt, which is why they're called earthbag homes. basically you're making like these bricks out of dirt filled bags, and you like put them down in a circle and you tamp them down and you layer them, and then you cover it with, like, it's not plaster, it's something, maybe it is plaster or something else, some kind of like cementing material. And you would think that the trade-off of sustainability would mean that they're like kind of not that great, but they're actually really, like, they're really well insulated, and since they're built in a dome, they're really resistant to earthquakes. And they're resistant to flooding, and they're super cheap because you don't really have to transport any materials except for the bags and, maybe some barbed wire, if you're using that to like kind of fit the layers together. But all the dirt comes from on site, so you save a lot of money that way too. So I would like, if I had $1 million, even though it wouldn't be that expensive to build the actual home, I could afford to take the time off to build it because I want to build it. You know, I want to learn how to build it and then make my own, and not have somebody else do it for me. So I could afford to take that time off and like afford to, I don't know, maybe hire a couple people to help me and like figure out how to build a greenhouse and set that up, and pay for, I don't know, like water and toilets and electricity and all. I don't know exactly how it would work. I haven't done any research into it. I just know that earthbag homes are a thing, and I think it would be really cool to figure out how to set up my own. So I would do something like that with $1 million. Okay, so the other question that this person asked is, what is your favorite book? You know, I don't know that I really have a favorite book. I can tell you what I'm reading right now. well, I'm reading two books. The first one that I'm reading is called, what is it called? I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. This first book that I'm reading is called Gathering Moss, A Natural and Cultural History of Mosses by Robin Wall Kimmerer. I probably butchered that. And it might sound a little bit boring, but she's this really amazing scientist. She studies mosses, so that technically makes her a bryologist. And she's also Native American. And I listened to this interview, and she said that she wrote this book because, you know, all day she's writing these scientific papers, and they're very dry, and they have to be written a certain way, and, you know, they don't really reflect the way that she feels about nature and the cultural relationship that she has with nature. So she wrote this book to incorporate, you know, both science and spirituality related to nature in the context of mosses. And she is just really eloquent and insightful, and a really, really wonderful, warm person. So if you're at all interested in that, I definitely recommend this book. It's like a series of essays. It's not a cohesive story. This other book that I'm reading is called Sea Change by Sylvia Earle. If you don't know who Sylvia Earle is, she is another scientist. There's clearly a theme here. She's a really amazing marine biologist and a deep ocean explorer, and she wrote this book, and it's all kinds of things, and she's just talking about her career and developing deep sea exploration technology, and you know, what it was like to be a woman exploring the deep sea in like the 70s, you know, at a time where people were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that you're a woman and a mother and a scientist, and you're gonna go into the deep ocean, but that's dangerous, and you have a vagina, and bleepity bloop blop, whatever. And it's just like really, again, like really insightful, really beautifully written. She talks a lot about like all of the amazing things that she's seen as an explorer and a biologist. And like, I'm sure you can imagine, you know, how amazing that is. I'm doing a really terrible job of describing these books. They're very good. There's a reason that I just read and I don't write. Anyways, so that answers that question. This other question that I have from a different person. Oh my god. Okay, Jesus, this person asked, what's the motive that gets you out of bed every morning? I thought about this question earlier, and I was like, I don't know. I never thought to frame it like that. Like, I don't know what gets me out of bed in the morning. Like, the work, like that I have to go to work, the promise of a cup of coffee. If I don't have work that day, like anxiety, I guess. That's terrible. I have very strong passions and I have goals in life, but I'm just thinking about like that moment when I wake up in the morning. It's never like, oh, I'm so excited to start my day, you know? I'm just like, oh my god, I have to get up. Like, I don't want to, but like, I really should. I get really anxious about it, and then that's what ultimately gets out of bed, is that I'm anxious that I've been in bed for too long, and not sleeping, but like, still in bed, and then I get up. Okay. I hope this isn't like breaking the illusion for any of you that after you listen to my audios, you know, that I'm actually kind of like a blabbering mess of a person. let's see. At least when it comes to recording this AMA, I feel like there's nobody else here with me to like have a conversation. I'm not used to talking for this long uninterrupted. I'm usually a very quiet person in a conversation. I do a lot more listening than I do talking. So it's really weird for me to be monologuing this long as myself versus like a script that I've already written. Anyways, let's see. Bowtie guy underscore GWA. He had a number of lovely questions for me. The first one is, how did you find out about GWA? It's funny, I found out about it, I want to say like 2 years ago. I was at a party and I was talking to this really attractive person, and somehow we ended up talking about like sex work, and they were like, oh, you know, you can do audio porn, like I have done it, and there's a subreddit, GWA, Gone Wild Audio, and I've done it before, and like I've made a little bit of money, and I was like, oh, that sounds interesting, like maybe I could do that, you know. And and I just, it was one of those things where like I thought about it, but I just had no idea where to start. And I was also like, nobody's gonna think I'm sexy, you know? And it kind of fell off my radar. And then, a couple of months ago, I was getting really tired of like traditional porn, and I like wasn't watching it anymore. And I was seeking something else to consume, and I remembered Gone Wild Audio, and I was like, oh, well, maybe there's something on there. And it just, like, cracked open this whole other world of, like really, like, intimate, personal, niche porn. And I was like, this is fucking amazing. And it's all free. It's so good. I love it. Anyways. Yeah, and then I was like, hey, you know, I could do this. And I did. Here I am. let's see, are there any scripts / plot / fantasy / kinks you plan on exploring with your audios? Like, so many. There's I have on my phone like a notes tab titled GWA audios, and I counted it up the other day, and there's like 20 or 30 individual ideas that I have on there. Maybe I'll open it for you guys and I'll read a couple. Let's see. And they're all like, they're kind of like really rough titles. And then I'll usually have like part of a plot and then like one or two lines of dialogue that I hear really clearly in my head and I write down. And that kind of sets the tone for the audio. Let's see, spanking audio, mommy housewife fantasy, Halloween goth fantasy, a lesbian friends to lovers, marine biologist has a bad day idea to promote conservation. I like wanted to do that for Earth Day. Let's see, another friends to lovers, dancing at a wedding, very romantic, librarian, a mirror audio. I'm like really into mirrors, so I think I have a couple on here that are about that. Here it is, edging in front of a mirror. Okay. Doctor treats your anxiety. That was a spicy one. Friends to lovers at a punk show. Okay. Sword fight / enemies to lovers. That's like a fantasy. I'm imagining like and two enemies are sword fighting, and then they're like having a really playful banter, and then it comes out that they're like actually really attracted to each other. Friends to lovers, mommy dom takes your virginity, soft dom cuddles you while you're tied up. Another mirror one, mirror praise kink. That's all it says. Let's see. Oh, slightly tipsy girlfriend asks you to get in the tub with her. I had that idea when I was slightly tipsy in the tub a couple of days ago. Psychic sees your deepest desire by threesome. Girlfriend pegs you for the first time. Halloween special, witch and her familiar, spin off of pet play, big sapphic energy. That's all that one says. There's no quotes or anything. Oh, here's my most recent idea, a ramble fap where I describe my outfit. I'm like really into clothes lately. Really like sets the mood. And I won't describe the outfit now. I'll save it for the ramble fat, but I had a very specific outfit in mind. Okay, I think that's enough of that. Once I got started, I couldn't stop talking. That was way longer than that answer needed to be. what kinds of audios or scripts do you enjoy listening to or reading about? That's this next question. I don't think it's going to come to a surprise to anyone that I like to listen to very subby audios. I like audios with a lot of begging in them. That's kind of my bread and butter, where the listener is like the center of attention, or like the center of where the listener's pleasure is center. Yeah. And I don't really listen to any Dami audios. I can be switchy, but it takes a lot of, like, I have to really know the person. It takes a lot of trust. And with the audios, it's like, I like, no matter how immersive it is, I'm always, when I listen to it, I'm like, nah, I don't know you, you know? Like, and I just can't, that's a hurdle that I can get over for subby audios, and for Dami audios, I just can't. Or, you know, alternatively, maybe, this is very possible, maybe since I started listening to audios, my sexuality has shifted in a way where I don't enjoy being dominated anymore, which is honestly really, really possible. I don't know, because I haven't had sex with anyone since I started like listening to GWA audios, which was not that long ago. It was only a couple of months, but anyways, as for like what scripts I enjoy reading about, I don't read a lot of scripts, or rather I don't enjoy a lot of scripts that I read, because I find that most of the time they're just not in my voice, you know, which is why so many of my audios, I write my own script. There's nothing wrong with them. Like, they're great scripts, they're sexy, but it's just not me, you know? And so the whole time I'm thinking like, oh, this is wrong, or this is weird, or I wouldn't say that, or blah, blah, whatever. What's the origin behind your username? Well, I used to be Spicy Jellyfish 013, back when I made a Reddit account about 2 years ago, and it kind of just sat there for a really long time, and I didn't get into it. I just made the account, and then I never figured out how to use Reddit. I chose that name because, I don't know, because I really like jellyfish, and I thought it was funny. And then I was looking on GWA, and when I realized that I wanted to start making my own content and not just listen to stuff, I was like, oh, well, everyone else, like, who is a creator has, like, a name that you can shorten into something, and people will call you that, and I think that's really cute. And a couple of times when I was commenting as Spicy Jellyfish, people were calling me Spicy, and I was like, blech, I hate that. I have to change it. I have to. It just felt, like, very unsexy. So so I changed it to Moon Jelly, because I really like the nickname Jelly. I have kind of a friend, her name is Angelica, and she goes by Jelly, and I just thought it was so cute, and so I wanted to keep that. Plus, I also really love jellyfish, and I'm, like, a huge marine biology nerd, nature nerd, and Moon Jelly is a type of jellyfish. And I was like, okay, well, either way, I'm either moon or I'm jelly. And I think both of those are very cute and very, like, I don't know, just, like, nice and calming. I like it. It feels like me. Anyways. All right, this next question. If you could have an all-expenses-paid trip to anywhere in the world, where would it be? I think it would be, somewhere, like, tropical, maybe. I'd really like to go. I guess if it's all expenses paid, then I really gotta like take advantage of this. Maybe I would go to like the Galapagos or I don't know, like Borneo, Costa Rica, like one of those kinds of trips, and just like spend shmoney on doing all of like the adventurous things, like scuba diving tour. And okay, so here I'm like really into bird watching, and I would want to do, they're kind of expensive, these like bird watching tours where an expert takes you out and they like know where all the really rare birds are and they can point them out to you and like they know where all the good spots are. And I would want to do like one of those kinds of like all of those like nature-y adventure type things with a guide. Anyways, yeah, that's definitely what I would do. What is the weirdest thing you've done for a dare or a bet? One time I streaked down the street in my neighborhood. I was like 12. I think that's the weirdest thing I've done. I can answer a question with a short answer. What are some different things you find attractive about men versus women, or any other gender for that matter? You know what? Out of all the questions that people ask me, this is the one that I thought about like the most. I thought about this question every single day since Bowtie Guy asked it. Because I've tried to articulate it to other people and to myself so many times, and I'm like, oh, what exactly is it? And I was like going through like this list of all the people I've ever been attracted to and like comparing and contrasting and trying to come up with, and what I've figured out is that it's just really complicated. I found that in general, this is a really flexible rule, and it manifests itself in a lot of different ways, but there's a pattern where I kind of prefer people who are more in the middle in terms of like the gender spectrum. So like men who are a little bit more feminine, women who are a little more masculine, people in general who are like kind of a blend of masculine and feminine traits. And like I do kind of mean, sometimes this is like a physical thing, but not always, you know, it's a lot more about, this is going to sound so dumb. It's, it's more about vibes, if that makes sense. So like you could look really like, you could look traditionally masculine or traditionally feminine, but like when I talk to you, I'll get a vibe where I'm like, oh, this person feels a little bit more feminine or a little bit more masculine than I would expect given their gender, if that makes sense. Anyways, yeah, fuck gender norms. I'm not about it, obviously. I think that's probably why I like femdom so much. What else? Have you always liked being a dom, or is this something new for you? That's also a great question. It's newer to me, definitely. You know, what's funny is that now that I've kind of figured out that this is something I like, in retrospect, it seems really obvious. Like I have big top energy, you know, and I have for a while. And it's like every other place in my life, I'm like bold. I know what I want. I know who I am. I'm like a really responsible person. I like to be in charge. It makes sense, but you know, internalized sexism and gender expectations run so deep, so unbelievably deep. And it was this thing that was like right in front of my face that I just could never realize. And, you know, I felt like my past partners expected me to be submissive, and I just assumed that I was, and I never even thought to question it. Never, ever, ever. Until recently, where I was like, in quarantine and like not having a partner, and I just had all this time, you know, and all this space to think about that without any expectations. And yeah, and I was like, oh my gosh, whoa, okay, this is new, this is really exciting. And then it just started snowballing after like an ex of mine, you know, we were like sexting or whatever, and he was like, oh, I really want you to peg me, and here's what I imagine it would look like. And it was like, it like blew my fucking mind. And yeah, it just snowballed from there. Anyways, what song is in your head right now? Ooh, this is another great question. I always have a song stuck in my head. Usually two. I usually have one, which is the one that I'm learning how to play, and sing. I play guitar and I like to sing. Not that I'm not very good, but I like it. And usually that's what I'm like humming throughout the day because I'm learning it. And then there's another song that I keep like, that I'll be like playing on repeat, to like jam out to. And usually those are different, but, this is one of those rare times where it's the same. It's a song called Circle the Drain by Soccer Mommy. And it was a song that I discovered a little while ago, and I kind of have rediscovered it because I listened to this podcast called Song Exploder, where they take apart a song with the artist or the people who produced it, and they're like, oh, this is the guitar part, and here's what we did, and it was inspired by this, and here's the synthesizer, and here's this effect and that, and they like play them out of context of the song, and it's like a 10 or 15 minute interview, and then at the end they play the song for you again. And it's just like, so it's amazing. I really recommend, if you're into music at all, I recommend you look at what they have, and you kind of pick and choose based off of if it's a song or artist you really like, but it just gives you this whole new perspective on the song. And anyways, so yeah, this song I've just been playing like over and over and over again. It's been stuck in my head. I've been singing it. I think it's actually, I've never had a favorite song, but this is my favorite song now. It has these like devastating lyrics that are touching or describing that feeling that you get when you're like depressed or anxious, and you're like, oh, what's wrong with me? Like, what's wrong with my brain? Why do I feel like this? Everything's fine. Like, there's no reason for me to feel this way, and I still do, and it's like exhausting. And so they take like this, that theme, which is, you know, it's not light stuff, and she wraps it up in this really like bright, beautiful, bubbly container, and it's this song that has like this really, really catchy guitar riff, and they play the instruments so that it kind of sounds like you're underwater, and there's even like little bubble noises and like little chimes, and it's just like so catchy and bright, and those things contrasting together and like playing into each other. It just is this amazing song that like it has made me, it makes me like want to like smile and sing along and also cry in equal turns. And I've done both of those things on the same day listening to this song. So good. Really well done. It's got like a real 90s. She compared it to like Soak Up the Sun, Sheryl Crow, and like Torn by Natalie Imbruglia, like that kind of melancholy vibe, late 90s vibe. Anyways, okay. Last question. Which movie/TV trope do you relate to the most? I don't think I'm really a main character type. I think that I'm like the quirky best friend, you know? She's like kind of weird, kind of artsy, And she like always comes in the climax of the movie and like offers some like really sage advice to the main character and then kind of like fucks off into the background. That's me. Okay, we're in the home stretch here. Lunch Meaties had a couple of questions for me. His first question, do you have any guilty pleasures? If so, what are they? I can't think of any guilty pleasures. Oh, maybe like musically. Oh, I know. lately I've been really, really into really early Lady Gaga. I like will blast it and just jam out so fucking hard. I recently watched her documentary. And it's really good. She's a really wonderful person. But I'm not going to pretend that her music is like, or at least the music that I'm listening to from her, I'm not going to pretend it's like this really highbrow stuff. You know, it's not. It's like, it's dance music. okay. Has making audios on GWA given you any new insights / opinions as a listener? You know, it's funny. Now that I make audios, I pay a lot more attention to the production value in other people's audios. And I'll notice, I'll be listening and I'll be like, oh, they didn't remove the background noise here. Or like, they could have done this. Or also, or like the other way around, I'll be like, oh, wow, this is really well done. Or, oh, fuck, I could never... How do they do that? I could never make something like that. yeah. Let's see. When you write a script, what does your writing process look like? Well, I feel like I kind of touched on this earlier. I'll have an idea for a script. It'll go in my phone notes and it'll be like just a title and a couple of quotes. Oh gosh. Can you hear that? My voice is starting to like crackle a little bit. It's because I don't normally talk for this long. And my voice is like, why are we talking for 30 minutes straight? What? What does your writing process look like? And then if I get really excited about an idea, I'll keep adding quotes and I'll keep adding more and more plot in my phone notes until it kind of grows into this monster of a thing. And I'm like, okay, it can't live in here anymore. It needs to live on my laptop. And I'll go and I'll type up a prototype and I'll kind of refine it from there. But usually I get these like bursts of energy around certain ideas and I'll have the script done. And like once it gets off of my phone onto my computer, it'll be done in like 2 or 3 days. Okay. Favorite ice cream flavor? I really like the pistachio ice cream from Rite Aid. That's like my favorite ice cream ever. And oh my gosh. Okay, that's all the questions. If you listened to this all the way through, you're amazing. And I don't, like, God knows how you did it. I don't know. I barely got through it. thank you for listening. Again, super flattered. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Okay. Bye.